I don't know how many of us have ever had to work for or with engineers before, but they can be kind of a, what's the word I can use that's polite? Difficult. Let me go. Say difficult. If you want anything complicated, ask an engineer. They can complicate it for you. When I worked out at Universal Oil Products, there was us that were on the floor, and there was them that was in the office. And I'm here to tell you some of the things that they come up with were just absolutely incredible. We would on the floor say, that's not going to work. They would say, well, you got to try it anyway. Why do you want us to try it if it's not going to work? Well, it might work. No, it's not going to work. We work with this every day. We know what's going to work and not, but you got to try it. So them being up above, we tried it. And, of course, it didn't work. And so engineers have a way of making something so simple into something so complicated. I remember when I worked there, they passed around a picture of a swing set. Maybe some of you have seen this before. Just a tree swing. And it had the tree swing like anyone in their normal mind would have it. And then they had four positions of an engineer making a swing set. I laughed my tail off. I never seen things. They have branches out this way, stands this way, the tree. I mean, it was incredible. You know, instead of just putting it on a branch and swinging, they had every kind of design for it as possible. But I say that to say this. In our world today, we also find that so many people are making the Word of God and the Gospel something that it isn't. A lot more complicated than what it really is intended to be. I want to take a look here, first of all, in 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to read 3 and 4. He says here, he says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas and then the 12. That verse 3 and 4 simply outlines what the gospel is. But religion, churches, denomination have made it so difficult to understand the gospel. And so it was like I was reading in my devotional this morning. There's a problem with the Jews and there's a problem with the Gentiles when it comes to Jesus Christ. The problem with the Jews is that He wasn't that all-amazing, wonderful king to come and free them from the Roman Empire and set them back up in their kingdom again. The problem with the Gentiles is we all gotta think like engineers. And the simplicity of the Word of God and the Gospel, it just can't be. It's too simple. We need to understand that if it was any more difficult than this, we couldn't be saved. If it was any more difficult than that, we'd be in real trouble. You know, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, in that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." The message I want to bring to you this morning is about the simplicity of the gospel. The importance of keeping it simple and what it is. Not making it into something that it's not. And to me, we've had so many training classes to teach us how to witness that we've made it complicated. Instead of like Paul said, Jesus came, He's the Son of God, He died for our sins, and He rose again on that third day. That is the gospel. If we were to look in Galatians chapter 3, Please turn there with me, if you would, Galatians chapter 3, and I want to look at verses 10 through 14. I want to outline three things in this passage. I want to outline the curse, I want to outline the conflict, and then I want to outline the cure, okay, as Paul relates it to the Galatian church. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. And the Word of God says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask you to be with us this morning through this message, through your passage, Lord God, that uncomplicates matters. And Lord God, may we understand that we are all witnesses in your name to the world around us. And Lord God, we don't have to make it difficult because it isn't difficult. And Lord Jesus, there are so many people, should they die right now, they would end up in hell for all eternity. We need to care. We need to love as you have loved. And Lord Jesus, we need to put the rest of it behind us and just seek your face, Lord God. And take the gospel of truth to the world, to our communities, to our next door neighbors, to our co-workers, to our family, to all people far and close. Thank you for loving us, Lord Jesus. In your precious name I pray. Amen. As we look here, we can see that Paul outlines the curse in verse 10 as being the law. The importance of that, the Ten Commandments were given to show us how we needed something else, how we were supposed to live. But guess what? Even by the Ten Commandments, you cannot live it perfectly and completely. And so if you try to make yourself righteous and justify yourself by the law, then you have cursed yourself because it curses you. Look at what he says here again. He says, "For as many as are of the works," meaning specifically talking about the Jewish people, because they believed that works is what justified them. He says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.'" In other words, if you think you can be saved by the law, you have to live by the law, every one that is listed, every one of them. You can't break a one. You break one and you're cursed. You break one and you're guilty. That's what Paul's trying to tell to the Jewish Christians there, or the Jewish people there. They're cursed. The law was to give us boundaries and ways to obey God that pleases Him. But those laws can't be fulfilled in living them for righteousness, my friend. And that's where the Jews went further than the law was given, that it would give them and bear righteousness to them if they obeyed the law. And they can't. It is impossible. It's just like everybody, anybody, even the laws of our nation, trying to justify yourself in righteousness by obeying every one of those laws doesn't happen because we break them every day. If that speed limit says 40, 41 is breaking the speed limit. How we justify it? You see, God loves His people. God loves the Jewish people. They were called to be His witnesses in the world. But they failed that because they depended on their works to do what only God Himself can do. Our little ones, our children, they're not going to be saved through the law. They're going to be saved by the righteous work of Jesus Christ. And we need to let them know that. We need to teach them that. We need to let them understand that it is God's hand of righteousness in His Son Jesus that saves us. And you know, there may be some in here that think if they obey the commandments. And you can be in a Christian church and think that commandments are the most important thing to do. The Jews tried to get the Christian Gentiles to accept the fact that they needed to obey some of the law to completely be saved. Salvation was fulfilled by Jesus coming. He didn't do away with the law. He wrote the law in our hearts through His blood. He is our righteousness. And you know what? We need to tell others around us about this saving grace, about this man, Jesus Christ, the one who loved us so much. Well, we can go on further. We see that they're cursed. If we were to look in Romans 3:10, in verse 23, it says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The law doesn't make you righteous. And also, in verse 23, which is one of our verses we try to always remember, is whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the bottom line to all of it. We're all sinners. Christ is the only one, because of His sacrifice, His propitiation upon us, that we can be saved and forgiven. God doesn't look at Mike Sams as Mike Sams. He looks at me through the eyes of His Son, Jesus Christ, in order for me to be accepted as His child and His son. It's not a hard message. Well, you know, there's a conflict in verses 11 and 12. The conflict is between that which is by faith, or the grace principle, and that which is the law principle. You see, why do people want to trust and believe in the law? Because it requires self-effort. It's hard for anybody to accept something absolutely free without you being have to do something for it. Now, our society today is a little bit more prone to that, since it is the entitled generation, but it never used to be that way. We didn't deserve heaven. We received heaven because of the work of Jesus Christ. And see, people still want to have the law. They still want to have religions. They still want to have all kinds of ways that they themselves can work towards there, so when they stand before God, they can say, look at what I did. They're going to be very surprised, because it is not going to be a thing that they did. They will still by the words of Jesus, "Depart from me, ye accursed, for I never knew you." They will go into the flames of hell for eternity. Self-effort isn't going to get us into heaven. Being a theologian isn't going to get us into heaven. The message is so simple. So simple. You see, the grace principle says this: I will trust God to do for me and in me what I cannot do for myself. I cannot do anything to earn my spot in heaven, my spot in glory. I can't do anything, and neither can you. And what we need to understand is that grace, for by grace are we saved through faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ gives us the grace principle to be saved. That's it, simply stated. So if we're sitting out there today, how are we sitting? Are we sitting in confidence of denomination? Are we sitting in confidence of baptism? Are we sitting in confidence of our own effort? Or are we sitting in the confidence of the grace that has been given to us? If we are, then we need to share that grace with others. We need to tell others about the grace of our God, because that grace speaks volumes of God's love for us. So we have the conflict in verses 11 and 12. Grace and works. There's only one. And grace is the way. Works is not. The third thing that we have here is we have been given the cure in verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us. I can stop right there. That is the cure for our hell-bound life of eternity separated from God. Christ is our way. Christ is. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What the law can't do, Jesus Christ did do. And I don't say has done, I said did do. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Faith in Christ brings grace from God and eternal life to each and every one in here today. Do we have that confidence? Do we know our position in or outside of Christ? Let's not make it complicated, my friend. Let's not use our own effort. Let's not use our church bylaws and regulations as a way to get to heaven. Because those things aren't going to even stand there when we stand before God. But we will all have to make a decision. We'll either be cursed or we will be graced. Which is it with us? And I don't want to pull any bones about it, because if we're honest about anything, this is the most important decision we need to be honest about in our lives. It's a difference between heaven and hell for eternity. I want to ask you to just bow your heads for a moment and close your eyes, please. Before we go to our invitation, it is so important to me that you all in this congregation are given the opportunity of the truth that is in Scripture. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know on which side of that wall that you're on? Do you know, should you be called or taken today? Do you know where you would go? Today you can make that decision. Today you can know that you're going to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ.